Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I want to welcome everyone to Radio for Their Mind. And I tell you what, I'm just stoked today. You know, this is the last chapter in Marcus Buckingham's book. Now, this was the second book that he wrote. This is the last chapter in Marcus's book, Now Discover Your Strengths. But we're not done with Marcus, because I've studied his works, you know, as a top consultant to Best Buy and others, in his role over there at Gallup. The man's powerful. So tomorrow, we're going to start into his second book on this subject, Go Put Your Strengths to Work. And this is going to be some awesome stuff. Today, we're really looking at how can you get your organization going. Now, it doesn't matter at all whether it's a direct selling organization, brick and mortar business. It just doesn't matter at all. It's how can you put it to work, and that's what we've got to look at. You know, how can you put what we're talking about here to work where it will benefit you, where it can literally make a difference in what you're doing, in the organization that you're trying to build. See, at the end of the day, isn't it that it's not about what we think, it's not about what you think, it's none of that. What it has to do with is what can we do to put to use what we just learned. And so many times we don't do that, whether it's this radio show, whether it's a Tom Hopp book, whether it's Anthony Robbins, it really doesn't matter. Most of the time we don't put it to work. Well, today I want you to get out a pen and paper, because we're going to put this to work. See, if you just listen to this chapter alone, it's going to benefit you. Listen to this. In the introduction of this book, we noted that in response to the question, at work, do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? Now, remember that question. Only 20% of employees could answer, strongly agree. See, most of them say, whoa, no, I don't think so. No, probably not. See, that's a killer, folks. Because that means that if in your real business it's that way, it's probably going to be that way in your direct selling organization. It may be that way at the corporate office if you're one of the CEOs listening. See, so many times we're trying to use antiquated ideas to build organizations, and it doesn't work. I don't care what industry it is, it just doesn't work. And that's why it takes doing it correctly to make it win. You have to listen to this. Some organizations have already begun the strength revolution. The 75 percentile in our database is 33%. Now listen, which means that in these organizations, a third of the employees strongly agree that they are using their strengths every day. The 90 percentile was a whopping 45% of employees saying strongly agree. See, the question is, how can you get your people to strongly agree? And folks, I tell you, I get frustrated with this, because I deal with CEOs on a regular basis, and there are some CEOs that don't get it. I received an email yesterday, and it was from the president of a company to one of his top distributors, lambasting them with this dictation or dictatorial type of ship up or ship out type of crap. And I sat there and I analyzed it for a long time. And the reason I did is because this top distributor launched the company with them, gave up an equity position in another company, said, I believe in you guys, long before the product and the services were ever released. And this is how he's treated. See, it's this type of mindset. Sometimes I think it comes from religion. It comes from church. Now, y'all know that I love the Lord to death. But I get so dogmatic whenever I hear these people saying it's the preacher's way or the highway, it's the Pope's way or the highway. And guys, I'm not, please don't, this isn't heresy or anything. I'm just saying, this is a volunteer organization. You got to treat people with respect. Here's the two things that you should always remember. Number one, each person's talents are enduring and unique. Each person's talents are endearing and unique. See, that's the big thing right there. You need to understand that everyone's, we are created in God's own image. That's what I believe. But we're individuals. He gave us free choice. Don't try to put everybody in a bubble. Number two, each person's greatest room for growth is in the areas of the person's greatest strengths. Now, how do you take the people in your organization today and start reformulating into this strengths-based organization that I'm talking about? Here's some things that you can do. Put this down. Think about this. Since each person's talents are endearing, you should spend a great deal of time and money selecting people properly in the first place. Now, that sounds simple, except if you don't know what your strengths are, if you haven't done the strength profile, you can't do this. You may have to hire somebody. That is not a selfish promotion. I'm just saying you're going to need to hire somebody. You might want to go out and get Marcus to do this since he's the expert. But you can go to strengthfinder.com. Strengthfinder.com. And you can get this taken care of. But you've got to be able to hire correctly. So you're going to have to understand how to do that. And to do that, you've got to understand yourself. The second thing is, since each person's talents are unique, you should focus performance by legislating outcomes rather than forcing each person into a stylistic mold. You don't want to put them in some mold that you see. You want performance, but to get the performance, you've got to put them in the right roles where they can actually do that. See, don't be legislating a bunch of stuff until you make sure that you've done number one. You've hired the right people with their enduring talent. See, that's the kicker, guys. You have to do that. Third thing is, since the greatest room for each person's growth is in the area of his greatest strengths, you should focus your training time and money on educating him about his strengths and figuring out ways to build on those strengths rather than the remedially trying to plug the skill gaps. This is tough. Some of you are saying, dude, you're not stepping on my toes. You're crushing my feet. And that's a true statement. You have to do this. The fourth thing, lastly, in this area, I mean, we've got a boatload to cover. Listen to this. Lastly, since the greatest room for each person's growth lies in the area of his greatest strength, you should devise ways to help each person grow his career without necessarily promoting him up the corporate ladder and out of his area of strength. Do you realize there's some people don't want to be managers? My dad was a union steward. He had the opportunity to go into management at the trucking company that he worked for and said, absolutely not. I want to stick with my guys because this is where I'm strong. I'm not a pencil pusher. I'm not a salesperson. I know how to go out there and deal with the people the way they need to be dealt with. That was his strength. There's four steps, really probably five, that can help you along these routes. Now think about this. Number one, first you need to build your selection system around the instrument, I don't know what you want to call it, form that you're going to use. You got to figure out a way, and you'll find this over in the strengthsfinders.com area. You might be using the form method if you're in one company, or there's all kinds of ways to do this, but you have to formulate what questions are you going to ask so that you can find their strengths. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to be able to know, because once that's done, then you're going to be able to measure their talent. You're going to know if they're going up or down. Second, you've got, and this really probably pisses a lot of people off, because this old scenario of just recruit the masses and then the good ones a stick, that's why companies go bankrupt. Doesn't work that way. You got to build this correctly. You got to build it right. And you're going to the second step is to continually calibrate the instrument by studying your best performers. See, every performer is going to have those unique talents. They're going to have their strengths. When you study that, you're going to know what the benchmark's going to be. You're going to be creating new benchmarks all along the way. The third thing you need to do is start teaching the vocabulary. You need to buy. Matter of fact, if I was the CEO of a company, I don't care how big or small the company was, I'd be buying Marcus Buckingham's book, Now Discover Your Strengths, and go put your strengths to work, and that would become the basis of our training. And we would all be getting on the same page. See, that's the kicker right there. If nobody's on the same page, if you've got a bunch of lone rangers, if the CEO and the president have two different personalities, they need to still be on the same page. The fourth step is in the construction of your selection system. Build a theme profile for the entire company. Now, mine's pretty simple. I can say exactly the profile. If I was in the field today building any company, here's what I'd be looking for. I'm looking for somebody between the ages of 25 and 55. The younger they are, the more hungry they are. They want it. You start getting up in the 30s and the 40s, they've got children. They've got responsibilities. That's good. You get to 55 and they're starting to realize retirement's not going to do it for me. I need to be looking for a part-time something to supplement my income. So my first part of my profile is 25 to 55. The second part of my profile is I'd love for them to have one, maybe two children. Maybe mama's pregnant. Reason being, this causes responsibility to kick in a male's mindset. All of a sudden, it's just not him and his baby. Now all of a sudden, it's him, his baby, and this new little child coming into the world. Responsibility. They're looking to make sure that they can give the best to their children. I want somebody that's saving money, looking for maybe to buy a home, or they're looking to do something big in their life. So they're saving money. They're not just blowing everything. I want somebody that tells me what their passion, what their purpose, what their vision is outside of work. See, I already know, and Gilhouse helped me do a lot of this as we've talked over the last few years as we've become buds, is formulate the system. Because when you do that, now it's not happen chance, dude, at all. Now you're focusing forward. You're moving it to the next level. You're doing it. Last step on this section that you got to look at. If you're going to build a strengths-based selection system, you've got to study the links between the measured talent, where you're at, and the subsequent performance, where you want them to go. So you've got to be able to have a measurement there. You've got to know where you can work with them because here's the kicker. If they're in their strength zone, you're not focused on their weakness. You're focused on what? Their strengths. So you already know where the benchmark. You already know that you've got to help them. Now, here's the kicker. This right here is a missing ingredient that you will not find in Marcus's book. You need to listen to me. If you know that they're strong in where they're at, their personality already shines through. You know that they're having success, but for whatever reason, there's a glitch. They've got a limiting belief that's not taking them to the next level. That's where Tom Hopp and Tom Hopp's book comes in, Timeout Winning Strategies. See, we all have stuff inside of us that we have to work through. We can be the best there is out there, and then there'll be a glitch. I knew a con man once that had no problem conning big corporations out of massive amounts of money. He'd con governments out of money, state legislatures out of money. Never kept any of it for himself. He kept giving it away to charities in order, because that's just what he wanted to do. He had a glitch that was causing him to do some of the craziest things. Once he realized what that was, he got some help. Tom wasn't around. Then he had to get help from somewhere else. All of a sudden, he could change his ways, and he did. And now he just works for charities. All of us have these little glitches. You got to work through them. It's the only way to make this happen. And I've been on a rant, and I've not been paying attention to my buddy. And although I got a lot more to say, Jim, your hand's up. I'm so sorry. What? How long you been there? Are you not there?
No, I'm here. I had to check and make sure I wasn't muted. No, dude, I pushed that before you even started the show. You've just been going on a rant, and I was just letting you go. Keep going, man. I was going to say something early on, but you know, you're on a rant, and you know, keep rocking. You know, if I got something to say, I'll chime in.
All right, I'm sorry, dude. You know, well, I love you, buddy. You know, this is the kicker. If you're going to build an organization, don't build it twice or three times. Build it right the first time. And doggone it, it really doesn't matter. It may just be your family you're trying to get right the first time. Whatever the case is, this is what you want to be able to accomplish. You know, you've got to look at this. Most people, I've got a complete training on this. I probably ought to publicize it. We never have. But there's basically four things that you've got to look at in any business. I don't care what it is. There's only four. You can write them down. You're not going to find this in Marcus's book. It's prospecting, presenting, closing, and training. Those four things. That's it. The dilemma is, in every business model I've ever looked at, nobody trains on prospecting, presenting, closing, and training the right way. They focus on the word duplication. Marcus is talking about this right now in this book. He's saying if you're going to create duplication around the enduring and individual strengths of the people. See, the duplication is a process of results. Everybody wants that same result, financial independence. The problem is we try to train people based on our personality type instead of taking time to do this. The reason Best Buy is willing to invest seven figures into Marcus Buckingham to be able to train and coach and direct their people is because of results, individual results. Each store is different. The Hialeah store, the Revolution, in the middle of Little Cuba in South Florida, is run completely different than the store in Destin. When the store in Destin opened up, it didn't have people wearing uniforms that looked like they were in the military. No, they had people running around here in Tommy Bahama shirts and shorts. They had surfboard displays up because we're a beach community. Same products, same basic training on the products, individualized personalities got to market the stuff. Folks, that's the key. Did you realize when Best Buy first opened, it was commission-based? And they weren't making any money. They couldn't take over Circuit City. When they started learning the fact that some people are not set out to be in a commission-based business. They're not set out to be in business for themselves. They paid higher wages, better benefits. They brought in great managers. They were able to bring in great employees. They're the number one big box retailer of electronics in the world. Guys like Marcus helped them do that. So what do you do? What are the strengths-based management system? How do you figure out the performance? Write this down. This is going to be good. I'm telling you. You want to change right now. If you're in a company, maybe you're not in a company. Maybe you're like Effusion, who had to leave network marketing yesterday. And you've got a team of great people, and you're wondering, how do I keep these people together? What are we looking for? Here's what you're going to be looking for in your next company, number one. You want to know that it's going to impact people. You want to know that the people on your team are going to be impacted by the products and the services and the leadership, and they're going to be able to go out there, and they're going to be able to attract other people that want to be in a strengths-based operation. You've got to know. You've got to look and say, okay, if we all want to be able to make financial independence, and this is important, because financial independence is just an ambiguous term. It means something different for everybody. But if you know what their answer is to what that is, then you can sit down and, you know, you can say, you know, based on what our product is, based on AutoShip, you need to have XYZ customers, and you're going to need to attract this many people onto your team personally every month. You do that for 12 to 18 months, and then the actual synergy will take over, and your team will start growing, and you'll focus more into the leadership role. You're going to know that if you focus on this right. This is a missing ingredient that you do not see in most companies. Number two, you've got to know what the person's impact is on the customers. See, there's people at the top, the president, the corporate leaders. They're going to have an impact based on their personality. I'll give you a prime example. I put up a post on Facebook. I put the post up about Effusion, the company withdrew from network marketing. It was not the distributor's fault. And we've been following this story since almost its inception. I praised the leadership in the field. I praised the brick-and-mortar distributors who really did love the product, loved making a few extra bucks. It was a great deal to them. They may not understand all the dynamics of network marketing, and that's fine. Here's what happened. First, I get some twit that wants to spam the thread and promote his own business in one of the most unprofessional ways. Tom Hopp has taught me to be professional, so I professionally slapped him by saying, you know, you should act more like Greg Arnold, who very professionally put his 2 cents worth in and never spammed the board. And he's a top leader looking for top talent. Then we go down a little bit further, and all of a sudden, and I love these two guys, but all of a sudden, I get into who's got the biggest, oh, I can't say that on the radio. We get into who's got the best company or the best products by two CEOs that should be above this. And they're bickering back and forth. So you know what I did? I did what Tom Hopp has taught me to do. Instead of retaliating, I politely said, guys, be nice, and then I deleted all their posts. Because that is not part of building a strengths-based organization. Folks, if you're going to do this and do this right, you've got to know what the impact of the CEO is going to be on the customers. And I can tell you, sadly, that if customers had seen how these two guys were acting, even though they both had legitimate reasons for what they said, and I don't blame either one of them for saying them, it was just the wrong place at the wrong time, customers probably would have walked away from both companies. Lastly, you've got to know how the leader of the company is going to affect the employees around him. See, one of the problems that we see with direct selling companies is that it's a them against us. It's employees saying, I'm making 8, 9, 10, 12 bucks an hour, and this guy that when he calls in doesn't even, you know how to speak English right is making $1 million a year, and he's calling me like a slave from the 1800s. See, all this adds up. Because if you don't have it right at the corporate level, guess what? You're not going to have it right in the field. Leadership starts in the corner office, not in the first position in the organizational chart. When you guys are out there and you're saying, I want to make it right, I want to build my little company, my little independent network marketing company, my little direct selling organization, my party plan, whatever it is, you have to line up your strengths with the strengths of the company. If you've got strong strengths and you realize very quickly the company is shortchanged in some areas, if your calling in life is not to help to change the way those leaders are, you don't need to go to that company. There's no reason to do that. It won't work in the long haul. That's what most people do not understand. That's what tears me up every time I hear about a company that's failing, that's falling, is because they don't get it right. See, that just doesn't work. If you're a top leader in the field and you're listening to this, I want to share something directly with you. Get out a pen and paper and write this down. If you want to build an organization that may not be the biggest in the world, but it has the least zeros in it, do the following. Number one, figure out the right way to measure the desired performance that you want from your team members. Figure it out. Do you want them on auto ship? Do you want them on, you know, do you want them to build deep? Do you want them to build wide? Don't hype it out and say you need to buy $1,000 up front and front load them or anything. Just figure out what the basic is for them to break even every month. Get a starting point. The rest of it will come down the road. Get a starting point. Because now you're able to give them something that most companies give them. That's why they do well at work, even though they're not happy with their job. They're given the performance guideline. You need to do that. Number two. Build a performance scorecard for every person on your team. People want recognition. People want to be held accountable. They want to know that they're growing. If you've got them in their right strengths, this will be good, and you'll be able to go back to it and refer to it. It won't be just some ambiguous figure you're throwing out. It'll be based on knowing exactly what's expected for them to reach that next goal. The third thing, you need to ensure that every person that begins to rank in your organization and gets a little bit of leadership under them, that they start discussing the strengths-based philosophy that you guys are building your organization with. Every new person needs to understand that. They need to know what's expected. They need to understand this is a little different than what they're used to. You do that, and you're going to start to see a difference. Guys, I'm not talking about this like, oh, well, Troy, how do you know? I'm going to tell you how I know. For 15 years, although it wasn't called this, this is how we built our organization over at A.L. Williams. When I went with Hubert and we went to WMA, this is exactly how we built our organization. See, this is, and it was from the top down. When I went to Invivis, I actually built my organization like this, but nobody else did, including the company. So it was a little wishy-washy. At ProStep, we flipped and we started doing this, and people got excited and people started to excel and move into the right roles that fit their personality. It was great. See, this is how you build it. And if you do it right, you will excel. You as the leader will excel to the top because you'll start building this out. I was listening to a video about Brig Hart the other day, and he set a world record in network marketing the last few years when he's been with Monavi by literally taking more black diamond, more six-figure earners direct than anybody else in the history of MLM. He just started pumping them out. Well, you know what? The reason that that works for him, two reasons, is one, he attracts people that are like-minded, just like he is. They got that same free-spirited personality, go-get-it-or-die type syndrome. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just the way they are. So they drive it home fast. You know, they have a system in place that has worked for them up till now. I'm assuming it's still working. That was not a shot. I just don't know. I haven't talked to him. But when watching this video, it was amazing because you see the success, not that just Brig and Lita's having, but all these people are having that were on their team. See, you have to do it this way. The last hurdle to building a strength-based organization is this. You cannot capitalize on people's strengths if you keep promoting them into roles that don't fit their strengths. It's not about titles. It's not about position. John Maxwell talks about this in his 5 levels of leadership. What it's about is making sure that the person can excel and strong. Big Tom, or Big Al, Tom Schroeder, tells a story of a guy that was in his Nutrition for Life company. The guy was part-time, never wanted to go full-time for 20 years. In network marketing with him and what Tom were doing, and made about $300-$400 a month, if I remember what Tom had said in this story. For 20 years, just $300-$400 a month, just day in, I mean, just consistent. The boy, you could count on the fact that he would have enough volume to give him a $300-$400 profit every month. He was happy. Things were looking good. He got done at his career, spent about 20, 25 years there, decided it was time to retire. He came in and said, Tom, I'm ready to go full-time. He goes, well, can you afford to go full-time on your retirement? He goes, oh, yeah, man, network marketing's been good to us. It allowed us to pay off our house. When we paid off our house, we took that money and invested it in another house, paid that house off, and took the money that we were saving there and our network marketing money and bought another house. We've got a nice little nest egg in real estate now, and everything's paid off, and we got money coming in, and I'm ready to give this my best shot. A total different story than what you hear, but here's the kicker. He stayed within his strengths. He built on his strengths. Tom never pushed him to go up the rung, to go do this, to go do that. It's all about ranking. It's all about – never did that. Didn't care. He cared about taking care of that person where they were at in life. Folks, that's what you have to do tomorrow. We start. Go put your strengths to work. 6 powerful steps to achieve outstanding performance. We're going to have a new website for you to go to. Instead of going to the strengthsfinder.com, I will share with you the website that you will need to go to where you can really start putting this to test. You need to buy these books, I'm telling you. They have so much additional stuff inside of them, stuff we can't cover. It's powerful. If you don't do it, at least hang out for the radio show. That'll give you some nuggets of wisdom. But if you don't apply it, then it will disappear. It just won't work. Folks, I love doing these shows. I love Jim Gilhouse for being my brother, what he's done here. We've got some new stuff that's going to be coming down the pike, some new books that are coming out that we're excited about. You guys are going to love it. Live life like it's an epic adventure. Listen, before you go to bed tonight, focus on what your strengths are so that you can get up tomorrow a little bit better, a little bit stronger, a little bit more forward on that journey of success that you're on. Folks, I'll see you in the morning. Radio for your mind. Bye now.